Just want to say one thing, highlight on this in this announcement video, and that is our candlelight service. We are really, really excited about our candlelight service that's going to be happening on Sunday evening, December the 20th. That'll be the Sunday evening before Christmas. If you're here, you're in town, really hope that you'll make plans to be here for that and also invite others to come. We're expecting to have really a great response from the community and just be a really, really wonderful time. We're going to have luminaries set outside. We're going to do some more things just to enhance some atmosphere here. And we're going to have communion, candlelight. We're going to have some special music that's going to be off the charts. I'm just saying, you just wait. It's a surprise, but it's going to be awesome. And just looking forward to that. So please make sure you do not want to miss that. There'll be a reception following that. There'll also be a meet and greet before. So there'll be, you can come at 5:30 and get some meet and greet stuff and some goodies, some hot apple cider, hot chocolate. Doesn't that sound good already? Come on. And then have more of the same following the service. So it'll be a 1-hour service from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock on that evening. So really, really fired up about that. Also fired up about this series, Fear Not. And we're going to spend just the next three weeks, counting today, on this topic of Fear Not, where we're looking at how the angel came in this Christmas story that we celebrate on three different occasions. And on each occasion, his first words were, everybody help me, fear not, fear not. And so, and with each one of those, there comes a message. Next week, we're going to be talking about the fear of what people think about me, and when the angel appeared to Joseph and said, fear not. But today we're looking at the occasion where the angel came and spoke to Mary and said, fear not. And so the idea here is this fear. We sometimes have a fear of what God is asking me to do. This fear. We have this fear. What is God? I have this fear of what he may be asking us to do, because sometimes we treat God as we treat sometimes some people that we know are coming to ask something of us. You ever have those people that you know when they call, they want something, right? And then you kind of just ignore the phone and you let it go to voicemail. And don't y'all all get paranoid. I don't think, just because when you called me, it went to voicemail, doesn't mean that's you, okay? I'm just saying. But you ever have those people that you want to avoid because, oh, there they are. You're in the grocery store. Look, let's go the other direction. Shh, don't point. There they are. Let's just avoid them because, you know, if you don't have somebody in your life like that, it may be that you are that person. And I'm just saying, but really there's this fear sometimes that we do that same thing with God. We have this fear of what God may be asking me to do. Perhaps he's asked, you know, I want God in my life, but I don't want to be fully, you know, surrendered, because if I fully go all in, it may cost me something. I mean, I want the benefits, I want his favor, I want his blessings, but if I truly just lay down my life in full surrender, you know, he may ask me to go to Africa. Right, he may want me to, to give up something. He may want me to marry somebody ugly. I mean, you know, is that over the line? I mean, come on, we're just going to get it real here. He may ask me to do something that I just, because I've got my plan figured out. I know where I want to go with life, and I want to be in control. You know, sometimes we have. This problem with being a control freak, you know, you got to have the remote control in your hand. You got to have the steering wheel in your hand. You got to have, you know, everything, all your plans mapped out. But here's the thing. God comes to us oftentimes, and we have this fear that he may be asking something from us that we're not willing to give. And so we say, well, fear, some people would say that fear is the opposite of faith. Well, Let's look at it this way, and that is, consider that perhaps fear is faith. It's just that it's fear in the wrong, or it's faith in the wrong thing. A fear is not just the opposite of faith. Sometimes a fear is faith, in that we put our faith in the wrong things. In other words, we have a faith in the what ifs. The what ifs, you know. What if I lose my job? So we have a faith in the wrong thing. Are you following me? We have a faith. We have a fear that what if the economy falls apart? We have a faith in the what ifs of what if my spouse cheats? What if I get cancer? What if I never marry? You know, my sister's had that fear. I never had that fear. I don't know. Back in those days, the guy did the asking, the girl had to wait. Now I think it just works both ways. You know, I don't know. You know, what if I marry a jerk? What if I marry a jerk and then I have kids that look like the jerk that reminds me of, you know. You know, we all have those fears, and fears sometimes can get out of control at times, right? I mean, just picture this scenario, if you were would that, you know, your wife is running late, okay? Your wife is running late, and she's just a few minutes late, but everything goes through your mind. Oh, my goodness, she's had an accident. She's dead. What am I going to do? I got two boys. How am I going to raise them? I don't know if by myself I can afford to put them in private school. I guess I'll have to homeschool them. That means, oh, no, I'm going to have dumb kids. And then I'm going to, you know, and then I'm going to go through, and then I'm going to be by myself, and nobody wants to marry a guy with two dumb kids. And then I'm picturing myself old and lonely, you know, a bachelor with dumb kids, you know. And so, and all because my wife is just a few minutes late. And she's fine. She's just a few minutes late. And so I'm saying sometimes we can just, fear can get out of control, and it can begin to, and you think that's silly, but you know what? Sometimes it's something along those lines, maybe not that scenario, where we just have these scenarios that go over in our mind and fear begins to take control of us. But I want us to bring us to this scripture that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It's there in your message notes. You'll find that also in your worship guide. We'll have it up here on the screen for you, where it says this: for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we got to ask the question, why are we afraid of God's plans? Why are we afraid of God's plans? And I believe one of the reasons may be this, and that is that God's interruptions are often inconvenient. His interruptions are often seen as inconvenient. So let's take it this from the story of Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says this: in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, who is Elizabeth? Elizabeth is a relative of Mary who was older, on up in age and was really beyond the childbearing age. And yet another angel had visited her and let them know, and let her husband know that you're going to have a child and this thing is really going to happen. And what seems to be impossible is all possible with God. And that child was to be John the Baptist. And so he says that now she's already in her 6 month. And then God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And it says that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. Now, the NLT says of that word trouble, that she was troubled, it uses these words, that she was confused and disturbed. So it wasn't like Mary said, "Oh, wonderful, there's an angel. I've always wanted to see an angel." No, she was freaking out, okay? And some of us think we'd like to see an angel. Wouldn't that be cool to really see an angel? Then my faith would really, really go up if I could just see an angel. And I'm not sure that we really know what we're asking for there. because, you know, some of us might picture these bald, naked babies that play on a harp and sit on a cloud. But let me tell you something. Angels are fierce creatures that are set in place to obey God, that go forth to destroy God's enemies, and yet can come and protect the little small child. They're awesome creatures, but they're just, I mean, if you ever had one to show up, you might realize that it's a little bit overwhelming. And here was Mary. She was like beside herself in shock of what this meant. And so here she was trying to process what was told to her. Now let's just kind of understand where Mary was. If we can understand where she was in life, that actually it said that she may have been even 14, 15, or 16 years old. She was a young girl. Because they, in that culture, in that day, once you went in through to puberty, shortly thereafter, you are engaged, betrothed, promised to a person, to a spouse. And so her husband was probably a little bit older, scholars say. And here she was, a young girl, and she's promised to be married to this guy named Joseph. And she's like getting probably excited at that age, getting ready, thinking about things, you know. I mean, you know, she's probably going and searching Pinterest, you know, getting her wedding planned out and getting everything in place. She's probably researching things. She's probably practicing writing her new last name for her checks. Come on, just trying to relate to you here. She's trying to see how all this is going to play out. She's probably rehearsed, you know, going through some names that she may like for a child that could be born somewhere down the road. You know, I like Chloe. You know, I mean, you know, I'm thinking of a name. You know, what can I name this child? And here she is in the middle of all of this. And then this angel shows up and interrupts. And it was very inconvenient, this interruption, because Mary, I'm sure, had her own plans. But here's what I want us to see in this, and that is what we call interruptions, God calls invitations. See, sometimes what we think is an interruption in our life and a problem in our life, and I don't know why I'm going through this, and I don't know why this is happening, when actually it's an invitation to actually something better than what you could plan or purpose for your own life. We have our own plans, but God doesn't see it as an interruption. God sees it as an invitation, because your plan is not near as good as His plans, and He invites us into something better. And we're very tempted at times to brush off, you know, his interruptions. That's just an interruption. I got my own plan. I'm going this way. I'm doing my thing. I got it all figured out. And we brush that off if we would stop and listen and follow the voice of God. God's interruptions always leads to something better, because it's an invitation. You see, God interrupted Moses on a normal average day in the middle of a burning bush to lead him to something better than just tending to sheep, but to actually be the great deliverer of his people Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, right? God interrupted that. God comes along and he interrupts Jonah, who was having a nice swim to shore and gets swallowed up by a big old fish, because God wants him to go back and do what he's called him to do and preach repentance to the nation of Nineveh. And then we see Saul, who had his own flow going, persecuting and killing Christians, and God interrupts that with a light from heaven and shines in his path and turns him around and sets him on a path of something far greater, to be the great apostle who would write the majority of the new covenant for the church and begin to go and evangelize and plant churches in other nations and reach the Gentiles of that day. What you and I see, listen, as interruptions is actually an invitation to something far better. And I want to just say this to you today, Crosspoint, and that is that many times, you know, let me just give you this scenario. It may be that you've walked into a church at some time in your life, and you were maybe begged there by a friend, or, you know, these Christians, they're unrelenting. They just keep after you. They're like waves of an ocean. They just keep begging you, come to church. I want you to come and be with me and come and visit. And so finally you give in, and so you come and you say, let me just get this over with. Let me appease my friend. Let me just come and it's an interruption in my life, but let me just come and go through the motions and then I'll just go on about my day. But somewhere in the service, there was something in the song that began to speak to you. There was something in the message that spoke straight to your heart, and God got a hold of your life and you began to, something began to change inside of you, and you found yourself realizing that this was not just an interruption, this was an invitation to something far better, and you accepted Jesus into your heart, you surrendered your life to Him, and now everything's changed and everything's better than it ever was before. And then you get up into the church and you say, well, I'm just going to now start coming to church. But and then something, there becomes this invitation. You thought it was an interruption. You said, well, somebody said, well, why don't you think about taking some time to minister to some four-year-olds? And you're thinking, I don't even like four-year-olds. You know, I mean, I don't even want to be around kids. They just get on my nerves. But something inside of you got a hold of you, and you decided, no, I'm just going to, I think I'm going to follow this thing. And you began to minister to the four-year-old children, and now you consider it to be the highlight of your week, and you can't wait to get in there and to be able to love on these kids and to tell them about something greater in life than just going through the motions. Come on, everybody. God's, listen, what seems to be interruptions are invitations to something far better, right? So God invites us. He invites us. He invites us. He invites us to something greater. It may be an interruption to go today to a hospital to visit somebody in need, but when you get there, you may find out that person ministered to you more than you did to them, because God had something not just for them, but God had something for you as well. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. But the angel, so she was all confused. Oh, this is an interruption. I got all this planned out. I mean, I got all this ready to go here, And here's this thing that's happening that I just don't understand. But the angel said unto her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. The King James Version says, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. And then he goes on to say, you found favor with God. How many of us want favor with God? I don't know how Mary heard that. I mean, she might have been thinking, oh, great. My wedding is going to be on a reality TV show. It's going to be great. You know, I'm going to have my whole wedding paid for. God's going to pay all my bills, and, you know, that's the favor I'm looking for. But God had something far greater. God had something far greater. God had something beyond what she could ever imagine. Look at the second point of this, and that is that God's purpose is often different than your plans. God's purpose is often different than your plans. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 31. You will conceive, angel told her, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Well, she already had his name picked out. No, God's got it all, got something better, right? He will be great, and we call the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And there's got to be a moment when this is spoken where Mary is just saying, wow, I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. But then there had to be this human part of her rise up and say and ask this question, but what are they going to say about me now? What I'm hearing is I'm going to give birth to a child. But in those days, if you were to give birth to a child out of wedlock, they would stone you to death in those days. I mean, and what's Joseph going to say? Can you imagine that conversation? Hey, Joey, something I got to tell you. I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I mean, how do you think that conversation went? Well, we know, we'll find out a little bit about that next week, because the angel had to visit him too. Because he's thinking, dude, I'm out of here. You know, I mean, this is not good. But the angel had to visit him as well. But here's what Mary found out. And that is that God's ways, his plans are so much higher than our plans. The Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are from the earth. His thoughts are so much beyond our thoughts. His ways are beyond our ways. And what we can't begin to fathom is it's that his way is more perfect and his plan is so much better than ours. There's interruptions that come in our life at times. There's people that have had a special child be born into their life. And perhaps at first glance you think, the person may think, well, why? Why did I get chosen for this? I'm not capable. I don't have the resources. I don't have the finances. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability to do this. But what they found out was that child did something in their life to bring out a love that was in them that they never knew was there, and began to change their life. And that child became the joy and the highlight and the purpose of their life, that put so much more meaning in their life. It may be you lose a job and think, oh, how am I going to make it? But yet God, where there's a door closed, somebody said, where God closes a door, he opens a window. Let me tell you something. God doesn't just open a window when he closes a door. God opens up another door. In fact, he opens up a four-lane highway. I'm telling you, God's a way maker. When it seems like everything comes to an end, the things that come in our life, if we belong to him, are not for our destruction, but they're for our construction. And so, you know, we got to understand God's ways. God's ways are better. There's actually, I've heard of people that have, you know, were engaged to be married to somebody, and that didn't pan out. And that relationship fell apart. And the person left is thinking, well, that was the one for me. And now I'll never have the right husband. I'll never have the right wife. Because that was the perfect one, only to find out as time went on that God brought someone else into their life that was more perfect, even better, beyond, more suited to come along inside of them and help them serve the Lord together. I want to tell you, God's ways, and they couldn't see it at the time, but then they finally realized when they got there, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I didn't marry that one. I mean, I know this story. I had two older sisters, y'all. I'm just saying. I had one, my oldest sister, and I had the privilege of marrying her. And she was a little bit older, and I was actually the one that performed the ceremony. And I told her through the whole, leading up to the whole ceremony, at the end of it, I'm going to sing the Hallelujah Chorus. I'm going to have everybody stand and sing the Hallelujah Chorus. And she was so scared to death I was really going to do that, because I was going to sing Hallelujah. My sister finally got married, you know. But she had some guys that she went through, I'm just telling you, losers. I mean, am I doing that right? Losers, losers. And this one guy, boy, she wanted to marry him, and God used my dad to step in and be the interruption. And he told my sister, he said, I will not give my blessings. And she went back to the guy and said, I'm sorry, I love my dad, and I got to have his blessings. And she didn't understand at the time, but boy, she got a guy, I'm telling you, he's a 10 plus that she's got now. And then she looks back and says, oh, what a mess my life would be if I had went my own way. God's plans are always, always better, always more perfect. We got to understand that. We got to know that. We got to settle that. I heard of this. Let me just give you this little illustration. I heard of a guy who, he said he loved to go to movies. He's a moviegoer. And he said he went to this, he had this own special theater he would go to. But for one reason, it was cheaper. So when he took his kids, you know, it helped economically. But he would go into this theater, and he really liked the chairs, because they had a little rock to them, had a little rocking action, right? A little rocking action. And he said, and then if you position yourself just like you could put your kind of feet up on the bar behind the chair in front of you, and you kind of just get a little rocking action going there. And he just really liked that. And he said that one day where he worked, his staff bought him for a present a ticket to go see this movie. But he noticed that they bought this ticket at a different theater. And he said, well, you know, I normally go to this theater. Why would you buy me one for this theater? And they said, oh, you've got to go. Now, it was double the price of the ticket. And he said, and they said, well, the chair, you will not believe the chair in this place. And he thought, what chair? There is no chair that could be that great to double the price of the ticket. He had no idea. And he got into this theater, and he said this. He said the chair was so huge. He said it was the size of a Honda. I mean, this thing was just nice leather armrest and had a cup holder that was refrigerated. He said, I didn't buy the $4 drink, but if he had, he could have kept his drink refrigerated. And have anybody ever heard of a chair like this? If there's a theater around here like this, I want you to let me know. I want to go check it out. And he said, so what he did just to check it out, he put his hand in that cup holder just to see if it would get cold. And after it turned pink, you know, he decided, yeah, it's working really good. And then there was this button that he pressed that the seat began to recline. And the leg came up. And he said, I would pay the price of the ticket even if there wasn't a movie involved. This is so great. He looked over at his wife. He said, and the only thing wrong with it, had this big armrest between him and his wife. He said, baby, if we didn't have this armrest here, it would be on. He said she looked at him, smiled, and raised up that armrest. He said, baby, I'm telling you. He said, man, it was the recliner. So it was so much better than the rocker. And yet he thought he had it all going on with the rocker. I want to tell you, there may be somebody here today that you've got a boyfriend that you need to go up to and say, hey, I'm sorry, you're a rocker. And I'm not settling for anything less than a recliner. Okay, are you hearing me? So I'm just saying, God's plans are always, always so much better. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Mary said this, how will this be? So Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. How can this happen? I mean, this is absurd. It's not just impossible, it's absurd. It's absurd. It's like an angel standing before me and telling me that next year you're going to win the Masters. Dude, I can't even hit a golf ball off the driving range. Y'all saw me one Sunday. I had Cody's clubs up here with a little illustration, and I still wasn't swinging right, was I? I mean, it would be that absurd. You know, it's absurd. This can't happen. How can this happen? It's inconceivable. And some of you may be facing some things today where it's just inconceivable. You don't understand the facts, Pastor. It's too late for me. I want to tell you, God can fix anything. And I'm not going to get into stuff. But contrary to news this week, God can fix anything. All right? And you're saying, but how can my marriage make it? How's my job going to survive? How am I going to heal from the wounds? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to survive this storm? Look at Luke chapter 1 again, verse 35. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he goes on to say this. Love this. For no word from God will ever fail. The NLT puts it this way, for the word of God will never fail. King James puts it this way, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Hey everybody, nothing is impossible with God. Can you say that with me? Nothing is impossible. Come on, say it. Nothing is impossible with God. You need to speak that to your problem, to your situation, to whatever your storm is. Nothing is impossible with God. So you ask the question, can I change my spouse? No, but can God change my spouse? Yes, all things are possible with Him. Can you heal yourself? Can you heal a loved one? No, but God can heal. Can you save the unsaved? No, but God can do that. So here's what I want us to see, that with God, all things are possible. So here's a question I have for you, and that is this. What is God asking you to do or believe? What is God asking you to do or to believe? Is there something that God has called you to do and you're thinking, there's no way, that's not even entertainable, I can't do that, but yet it keeps after you? I believe, listen, if you belong to God, I believe that you can hear His voice. I believe that God speaks to us. And it's not a voice to be ignored, it's a voice to be followed. Somebody over Thanksgiving actually showed me a wonderful video of these people standing at this fence, and they were calling these sheep. And they were using the same language that the shepherd would use. And one after another, they would have their turn of trying. And all these sheep were out in the field, and they were just grazing, backs turned, you know, just minding their own business. And so then the shepherd, I love this, the shepherd steps up to the fence, and he gives the same words, the same call, and their heads go up. Their heads go up. And they start just moving. This massive move toward the shepherd. And then he walks out into where they are, and they all just start following him. Oh, man, you got to Google that one, all right, y'all? But I'm just telling you, God speaks to us, and we can hear His voice. And these impressions, these things that we have, these things where God speaks to us, and you know God's voice. I'm going to ask you, what is God asking you to do or believe? It may be he's been after you about starting a certain ministry. It may be He's wanting you to go back to college. It may be He's wanting you to reach out to someone, or He may be wanting you to break up with a person, or He may be wanting you to mend a relationship with that dad or with that mom. What is He asking you to do? And then this question, what is your response? What is your response to God? And I want you to understand this, and write this down if you would. Understand this, and that is that outcome is God's responsibility. Outcome is God's responsibility, and obedience is yours. Let me say that again. Outcome is God's responsibility, and obedience is yours. So here's the question. What is God calling you to do? And I believe, listen, this message of this series of Fear Not is really a message about faith. It really is. It's a message about faith, but it's about what you have your faith in. And God will always present stuff to us to challenge our faith and to stretch our faith so that you may be able to overcome your fear or your faith in the wrong thing. He may be calling you to adopt a child. He may be calling you to start a small group. He may be calling you to give something. He may be calling you to tithe, and you're saying, how can I do that? I financially can't do that. Listen, everybody, outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. Look at what Mary responded in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Another version said, according to your word, be it unto me. And notice the first thing that she said there was, I'm the Lord's servant. Another translation says, behold, the Lord's handmaiden. So first of all, she recognized who she was. She recognized who she was, and she recognized whose she was, that who she belonged to. And so when God calls you to do something, you can't just look at, well, in myself, I can't. No, you look at who you are and who He is. And with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So I got to ask the question, are we willing to obey? Are we willing to obey? And I'm going to just do something unusual here today. I'm going to stretch you a little bit, stretch your faith a little bit. I just want to ask you, if you are here today and you belong to God, you're his child, and you're willing to do that, you're saying, yes, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to pray, and I'm willing to obey. I'm willing to pray, and if I don't know what God's will is, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go after, and I'm going to say, God, really, I want to make sure I know what your will is for my life. I want to know what you want me to be doing right now. I want to know I'm in your will, and you'll commit to, I will pray, and I will obey. Could you just, come on, can you have some courage here? Could you just raise your hand? If you're here today and you say, that's me, yeah, I'm committed. I thank God for a church that's just willing to pray and willing to obey. I commit. And you know, that's all God is asking us to respond and just say, God, that's me. I'm here. I'm ready. Whatever you ask, God, I'm willing. Now, that will cost us some things. It'll cost us some inconvenience, but understand this. It's for something far better. It's for something far better. Listen, there is always a blessing with obedience, and there's always a sacrifice with disobedience. Amen? That's good. You need to write that one down. I didn't have that one in the notes. Come on. There's always a blessing with obedience, and there's always a sacrifice with disobedience. That's why the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So we're saying, God, I'm willing. Guide me and help me not to be afraid of what you've asked me to do. Not be afraid of what you've asked me to believe for, God. I'm going to step into this thing in faith, and I'm going to believe for what you have called me to do and what you've called me to believe for. God, I'm going to trust you. And let me just underline that word, trust. You got to trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. See, sometimes we get it backwards. We love God and trust people. And I'm not saying we're supposed to distrust everybody. But I'm going to tell you, we love God, but we need to trust God and love people, right? We trust him because he is trustworthy. He laid it all down the line for us. Are we willing to lay it all down for him? Are we able to be a Mary? Say, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I'm a virgin. And you might ask, why is it so important that she was a virgin? I cannot tell you. I cannot describe to you how important that is, that she was a virgin, because she did not carry the seed of sin through that bloodline, but God interrupted that sin with something far better, and that is a spotless lamb that was able to step into the human race and interrupt that sin to bring his righteousness to take our place, to be our sacrifice, to go to the cross, to die for us, to pay the penalty, to pay the price for our sin, that we could have life forever. Amen? That's something to be excited about, right, everybody? Come on, let's praise God for that. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this time that we have together just to remember that your plans are for our good. Your word says that your plans are not evil, but they're good. Wanting to give us a future, wanting to give us a hope. God will live way beyond our potential and way beyond your purpose for our life if we just live it our own way. Help us today to step in to this place of trusting you, this place of sweet abandon, this place of adventure, and allowing you to come in and take us on a journey to take us to a better place, to fulfill the God-given purpose that you originally designed us for. Help us to discover that name, Jesus. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It may be that you're here today and you would say, if you would be honest, you would say, well, I'm really not even a servant of God. I could not truly say with all honesty that I am even his servant. And by the way, I said this last week, Christianity is not just a belief system. As many people just find it, it's just a belief system. It's more than a belief system. It's actually being a follower of Jesus, where you're saying, God, no more will I follow my own ways, but I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to follow your leading and your guidance in my life. I'm going to trust you to work out every step of my life. I'm going to give my life to you. That's what salvation really is. It's simply just surrender and saying, God, I give you my life. That's you today, and you say, today, what you spoke, what you said, what God's speaking in my heart tells me what my response needs to be, and that is that I need to make you the Lord of my life. I need to surrender, and I need to become the servant of God. When we do that, guess what? You're gonna discover the favor of God upon your life. But you just can't begin to imagine how God's going to bless you. Beyond the blessings of this world, God's going to bless you indescribably. And I want to give an opportunity today. If that's you, I'd like to just lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front or embarrass you, but I would like to just simply, right where you're seated, lead you in a prayer of surrender. And if that's you today, I'd like you just to have the courage just to say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you include me? And you can just simply indicate that by slipping up your hand and putting it right now. Would you just do that? God bless you today. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Yes. Proud of you. Yes. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Right where you're seated, if you lifted your hand, I want to lead you in a prayer, and perhaps you didn't even lift your hand, but you know that's you, and you need to pray. Just right where you're seated, make this your prayer. It's not a magic prayer of saying some words and you're in the club. It doesn't work that way. But it's a prayer that you pray from your heart. I'm just simply helping you with the words. Communicate that to God. And if you'll do that in faith to God, I'm going to tell you, God's going to come in your life, and you're going to be brand new on the inside. Would you just simply pray this? Just say, Lord Jesus, today, I thank you for coming into this world for me. Today, I give you access into my life. I welcome you. I surrender my life. Forgive me for going my way, doing my thing. God, I want you. I want your plans. I want your best. I desire your favor. So by faith, I accept that you paid for my sins so that I could be set free. I accept your grace, your gift of favor. Say this. Say, I give you my life. Come on, say it again. I give you my life. Say it one more time. Say, Jesus, I give you.